bring in Brad May, Stanley Cup champion, now studio analyst for the Las Vegas Golden Knights. What's going on, Brad?
How you doing, fellas? What's going on?
Mayday, how are you, man?
Matthew, it's been a long time, my friend.
It is.
Enjoying life out here. It's been outstanding. And first year with no kids in the house, as I'm sure other people listening will understand, empty nesters, it's a ton of fun.
I know. All I see is your tweets and then your wife's Instagrams of you guys by the pool or a couple glasses of wine. You must miss down east in the snow, right? Going between Vegas and Arizona to visit your daughter or out in Anaheim. It's tough. Tough life.
I'm going to tweet it out right now where I'm sitting to do this interview, guys. And I've got to tell you, winter sucks here.
Yeah.
You know, if you go on my Twitter feed here when this interview's done, mm-hmm. I'm going to send a picture, and I'm actually being a smartass. It's been really amazing.
No, we know.
But being a part of this new hockey team, guys, it's been so exciting, so fun. Love being around the game of hockey, obviously, and I get back and forth to Toronto all the time anyway. So Toronto's always my home for sure, north of Toronto, but you don't have to reside there every day to keep it as home.
There's nothing like that's such a Canadian move to just move to somewhere warm and be somewhere warm, and just all you want to do is brag about how warm it is to other Canadians.
That's all he does.
Hey, look at the sun. Nice one. How's the freezing cold wind? Good? Is it good?
Honestly, guys, like, hey, I'm not sure if I even have a long sleeve shirt in my wardrobe.
Yeah, yeah. Good for you.
I'm so happy for you. Toronto's an outstanding place.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's great. We love it here. And I actually do. I don't know why I'm saying that sarcastic. I don't know how much I love it right now, but it's been fine. I actually did see on your Twitter feed, though, that you were up in the Yukon for Hockey Day a couple years back, right? I saw a tweet that you made some friends there and had some relationships that have lasted a little bit.
Yeah, you know what? Amazing. When I first retired... Matter of fact, guys, I never retired. My phone never rang again. Nobody called to ask me to go play hockey again.
Free agent.
So it kind of ended, but then I was able to step right into the media side of things. I got hired by, actually, your president, Scott Moore, with Hockey Night in Canada, doing some stuff on the radio, and then a number of TV gigs, which was really fun to kind of, break into that next career, if you will. But, I got invited up to Hockey Day in Canada, which was amazing, up in Whitehorse, and met a family called the Phobes. Their son was a great, actually really good skater, really good hockey player. He's kind of tried to chase his career from up north, and his mom and dad were outstanding. And I think I've been invited back to speak at an event in September, so in about 7 or 8 months, nine months to go and talk to people in Whitehorse and enjoy the Yukon, maybe even go to the Dawson City and take it all in. So when we were there, it was awfully cold. It was right in the middle of the winter, but I think a great time to go up there would be September.
Yeah, you've heard of double dippers, right, JD? You know, working for this company, getting another layer hand in. Maisie's like the triple, quadruple dipper. He's all over the map. Mm. He'll do anything.
It's good to be versatile.
He's very versatile. Before we get to Vegas... What's your thoughts on the Sabres? I know you followed them. You were working with them for a few years, and just watching what's happening there. I mean, it almost looks like they're in another rebuild about to start, Maisie.
You know what? It's first of all, Buffalo was nothing but they've been nothing but great to me. I got a chance to play for them. I got a chance to work there. See a lot of my buddies. Obviously, you, Matthew, as well. When I was in Buffalo, but I got to tell you. Incredibly disappointed in that team, the way they play hockey, the way they got nice people, great personnel. I have no criticism of that. I actually would have thought they would have been so much better to start this season with some of their acquisitions and in the summertime. If I'm not mistaken, it was over 10 new guys, new faces in their lineup. But incredibly disappointed in the Buffalo Sabres. I mean, again, they're at the bottom of the pack. I mean, when's that going to end? I guess what it does tell you, though, is it's awfully difficult to rebuild as much as people want to and trade away great assets for draft picks. Draft picks are all about the future and, potential. That potential is not always realized.
Are you parachuting right now?
For the I'm on the beach. I got to go.
I thought you said it was nice there. It sounds so windy.
Sorry. Like, hey, guys, I'm telling you, I'm going to go hide here. But back what I was saying about Buffalo, it's not easy to rebuild the National Hockey League. So every fan that says, oh, my team stinks, let's rebuild, let's get rid of all our assets, the best players, and get these draft picks, they don't always mature and develop. So I think that's a slippery slope.
Well, it's one thing when you're the Edmonton Oilers and you continue to go back to the lottery. Your fans are still going to keep showing up. The fear I would have for Buffalo is that if you keep being this horrible of a hockey club and you keep trying to sell hope, that eventually the market is just going to say, all right, call us if you've ever figured this out.
And they're unbelievable fans. I mean, they're a great fan base. But at some point, you have to turn it around or people are going to stop tuning in.
Yeah, hey guys, just jumping in there. To compare them to Edmonton would be actually a fair assessment. The fans of Buffalo, I can tell you right now, the sports fans of Buffalo, they've endured a lot of heartache, obviously, even with their football team. The fans still come out. So the passion for the, you know, their fan base is as strong as Edmonton, I would say. So the people there are amazing. But I think what that does, though, it's celebrating sometimes mediocrity, which is not what the players and the organization needs. They need to be pushed to get to that next level. But, boy, that's a tough place to be right now, I think, if you're a Buffalo Sabre fan and player. I would have expected them to be a lot better. They've got some good personnel.
Yeah, I have some friends that thought they were going to be a playoff team. I didn't think they were going to be that, but I certainly didn't expect them to be one of the worst teams in hockey yet again. I think a lot of people did expect the team that you cover the most closely to be arguably the worst team in hockey. And I know that it's not your classic expansion franchise. Everyone's looked at that and said, listen, they've gotten some good players there, and they're going to have Marc-Andre Fleury, who's back at practice now. But if you would have laid out the script of how things have gone for this team, especially with losing Marc-Andre Fleury, and then to say, No, it's going to be December and they're going to be in second place in the Pacific Division. I would have just laughed. There's no way I would have ever predicted this. Like, what do you think the main reason has been for the success of this hockey team?
Well, the first thing too is if they win their games in hand, they're actually tied for first in their division, which by the way, is absolutely overachieving from our expectations. I mean, this team's really, it's been amazing. It's been amazing to watch. But one thing I can tell you, obviously I'm covering the team and I know the personnel now there and the people running it, they haven't given me one reason to doubt them. As much as I say, okay, the wheels are going to fall off at some point in time, you know, after their hot start, they're going to go on the road and, you know, they're not going to get it back. And then obviously with the goaltending issues, they haven't given me one reason to doubt this team. They've got performances throughout their lineup. It's actually really fun to watch. And I got to tell you, the atmosphere, and I'm not a homer whatsoever. The atmosphere in Las Vegas is certainly at the top of the National Hockey League, if not the best game experience that I've ever experienced myself.
Two things, Maisie. I need tickets in March. Thank you. And I also need a hotel room that you can pick up along the way. So I'll just thank you in advance and I'll send you the exact dates after the show.
The greatest part about this job is the connections that I'm accruing, and it's been a ton of fun. And yes, Matthew, I can find you a hotel. Might be a motel for you, but I'll definitely find you something.
I wanted to ask you, because when we played together with the Sabres, I think we had the motto, you know, the hardest working team in hockey, and we had a great goaltender, but we were kind of just a bunch of guys that worked really hard for each other every single night, gave it everything we had. Like I said, we had great goaltending. When I look at this team under Gerard Gallant, every game I watch, you're in for a war against this team. I mean, you're in for a tough night of a bunch of guys that are really, it looks like, trying to be the hardest working team in the league. And on most nights they accomplish that. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Absolutely. I think you're right. You're bang on. I think the one difference between our team and Buffalo that really, from all accounts, completely overachieved, we had the best goaltender in the world. That's not the case for Vegas here, although they've had good performances. We've seen some weak efforts, but we've also seen these guys steal the show. And they've gone through five goaltenders, guys. It's actually pretty remarkable where they're sitting. But Gerard Gallant, and I know, Matthew, you can attest to this, when you have a coach like Ted Nolan, who inspires you to be better bigger, faster, more confident than you ever thought you could be yourself. That's the title of leadership and to become the best coach. I know every banner is one, you know, the real tough coach, the guy that, you know, keeps it rules by the stick, but he coaches like Teddy did, Matthew, and guys that are 6 feet tall and think they can score 10 goals in the NHL on the Vegas Golden Knights, they think they're 6 foot two and can score 15 or 20. They believe it. And, you know, with that belief, they've just gone out and performed.
Yeah, we love to have conversations about award races in season, and it's always couched with, it's very early, but, and it's silly to discuss this guy winning the award, but except for Coach of the Year, he's going to win. It's already sealed up. I can't. How could he possibly lose it? Like, they got to lose the rest of their games, the rest of the season, for him not to be Coach of the Year. Like, that's already in the bag. Do you think that this team, if they are close, where do they have to be for them to start selling guys off?
You know what? I'm not gonna predict anything there. I know they have a 1 year, a 3 year, a 5 year, and a 7 year plan. Now, whatever that means, listen, for all of us sitting on the outside. But it's actually, I know they're ahead of schedule on these players. The problem is you don't want to go and sell, you know, start, you're in a playoff hunt and you can't be selling off your players, your best players. And I'm sure the first time here they can probably do it, but that may not be the best way to build your team. But on the other hand, just because they're having success in year one, if they add to this team, get themselves in the salary cap, you know, or have some concerns going forward, two, 3 years out from now when they have to re-sign players, all of a sudden they go from a good team to being a bad team because they've, you know, tried to advance too quickly. We see that too often in the NHL in these rebuilds. So I'm not sure. I think George has done a great job. And again, you can't doubt him right now for the way he's architected this team.
Hey, Brad, thanks again for doing this today. And sorry, Matt, just used this platform publicly to harass you for tickets and hotels.
It's perfect.
That was not...
Maddie Jr. says hi to your daughter, by the way.
I that's that again, guys, that's offside, just so you know. That's a rule in life as well, Matthew, not just hockey. That was offside, that comment. Matthew Barnaby, just for your listeners, and by the way, I used to work there too, right in Toronto. Love it. Sportsnet. Outstanding. Matthew Barnaby, first of all, he's cheap, so I'm not sure if your producers, directors, anybody that you guys work with directly, I bet you Matthew hasn't bought you a salad, a lunch. Maybe he may have gotten you a coffee because he won a roll up the rim to win contest, possibly. But one of the cheaper guys I've ever played with.
Wrong after I bought everyone dinner and drinks last night. See you, Maisie.
Tough one.
Why didn't you do it with us?
Yeah. Hey, man, it was great having you today. Thanks again for doing it, Brad.
Thanks, buddy.
Cheers.